Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right. Ireland and Momo joining us for our Super Crosstalk today. How you guys feeling?
Pretty good, Trav. It's weird that we're not there. This is the first time we've done this and that I haven't been next to you guys. The reason I'm home today is my son had his wisdom teeth pulled today. Yeah. Have you guys all had that done?
I have, yes.
I only heard Taylor.
I have not. I have not, John.
Have you done it, John?
I did, but I don't remember it being this brutal.
Oh, is he banged up? Is he?
He looks like he went three rounds with Mike Tyson. I'll send you guys a picture that kind of summarizes all this. But it is I'm on nurse duty for a while. My wife's at a tennis tournament, but. So, I mean, the fact that I'm in charge is just ridiculous.
I'm a little worried about your son, that you're the one responsible for this moving forward.
Open your mouth. Put your chin back.
When does tennis end, and when is she coming home?
She's coming back Saturday. This is not going to go well. But hopefully I can handle any emergency that comes up.
So when he came out of the oral surgeon and had to do, was he all loopy and out of it?
Well, he is now. I mean, in the middle of this show, it could go anywhere. I mean, we could have a guy speaking in tongues by the end of this thing. I don't know. I just feel so bad for him, but he's hanging in there.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not a great day or two.
But he was asking me how long before I can eat real food.
Day or two.
And that's what I thought too. But these guys are saying like a week. I'm like, really?
No,
a week.
I was back on the horse in a day or so. It's an important part of my life.
I just sent
John.
You guys the photographic evidence, and you could see this does not bode well.
I'm going to check it out.
For me. Hey, couple of things I wanted to touch on. Number one, Emily, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Loved Glee. I was totally into it when it was on. Couldn't get it. And I think Sue Sylvester, which was the character that Jane Lynch played, was one of the great TV characters of all time. She was basically a smart-ass teacher that didn't care what you said. She was going to make fun of you no matter what, which was how I had a lot of teachers in my day. But I thought the whole idea, it was created by Ryan Murphy, who did The People versus O.J.
American
and all that
Horror
other
Story
stuff.
Too.
Yeah,
it's funny how what his whole like filmography is. He goes all the way from Glee to American Horror Story. It's all over the place.
He did a show. I think he was responsible for this show, Nip Tuck. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah, he did.
Fantastic,
Nip Tuck.
Unbelievable show. That was creepy and weird and compelling. I like that show a lot.
But go watch Glee.
So, John, I just looked at the picture of your son.
Yeah. You know, this is not going to go well, is it?
So no, you're in for a long
couple
of days.
Looks like he has the wrestling. You know, those guys.
He's got wrestling headgear on.
Exactly.
So it's funny that you said that. You know what it looks like to me? Remember, like, when we were a kid, the Bugs Bunny cartoons, when somebody get a toothache and they tie the towel around their head.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like he's got one of those
that
things
poor
going.
Guy.
The little knot at the top.
I wish I could do more, but it's going to be an interesting 3 hours. It's going to be an interesting 3 days. Let me put it that way.
Hey,
everyone.
Hey.
What's up, Momo?
How are you?
Hey.
Okay,
I was sitting there, eating my lunch, waiting to talk.
Well,
to you.
No, the funny thing was, Ramona, we heard you earlier when you said I could only hear Taylor.
Taylor, right.
That was on the air.
Yeah.
We didn't know that you could hear us. You can hear us now?
Now I can hear you, yeah. Before, I had no idea what you're saying.
So
you
I'm glad
said Ramona went to Cal, and I'd be like,
yeah.
Didn't know.
Okay, so I'm glad you're here because Ramona and I may be able to lend some context to the conversation you guys were having about Jason Kidd.
Yes. I want to have that conversation, but I also want to start with this because I don't want to forget, and I got an attention span of about 8 seconds, and it's at the front of my brain right now.
Yeah.
You know, I went to the Dodger game yesterday, right, John? We were talking about that.
Yeah.
It was terrific. Had a great time, great seats.
Yeah, good seats, right, yeah.
Yeah, it was terrific. But I know that this happens to both of you guys a lot because, obviously, everybody knows that Ramona covers the NBA. She's on ESPN. They see her all the time. You're the voice of the Lakers, so you're the right people to ask. I'm sitting next to this very nice guy at the Dodger game yesterday, and he said, he was roughly my age, and he said to me that we started talking about the Dodgers teams from the late 70s and early 80s, And so we're kind of having a nice conversation. And he says to me, oh, my favorite player back in the day was Bert Hooten. I said, oh, okay, yeah. And thinking Bert Hooten, that's an odd choice, but whatever. That's cool. Bert Hooten's your guy. And he goes, yeah, he was the great knuckleball pitcher.
No.
And, exactly.
Got the wrong guy.
So I said,
he's thinking of Charlie Huff.
Exactly. So that, John, that's exactly what I said. I said, I think you're thinking of Charlie Huff. It's not Bert Hooten had the knuckle curve, but I think you're thinking, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So at this point forward, now I'm his go-to guy for all things Dodger related, that he's asking me all these questions. Do you?
Now, does he know who you are?
No idea. I'm just a guy that happened to be sitting next to him.
Okay.
But because I knew a thing that happened 30 years ago, now all of a sudden I'm an expert. Do you correct that person in that moment, or do you just let it go to avoid the conversation?
No. I always, if I'm engaged in a conversation, I mean, be in it. I would have done exactly what you did.
Engaged, or you feel like you're forced? I think Travis felt like he was forced to be in the conversation.
Well,
John, one more piece to this. His friend had four tickets. There was only, I mean, if you guys saw the Dodger game yesterday, it's a day game at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, very sparse crowd.
There aren't that many, people there. This guy is sitting in the fourth ticket, but he's not with them. And the whole place is wide open.
This is a better question.
That's awkward.
It was extremely awkward, but he was pleasant enough. It was. I'm not saying it wasn't weird, but Ramona, if you're at a cocktail party and somebody says, oh, you know, I loved watching Shaq and seeing number 32 run up and down the court. Do you correct them and say, no, that was magic. Shaq was 34. Do you let it go?
I think that it's situational for me. If I'm engaged in the conversation or if I'm stuck there, okay, I would probably do it. But if I kind of just want to keep it moving, you know, like if I don't really want to get into it, because like one of the things I've become, and this, oh man, I sound very like jaded by saying this, okay, super jaded. One of the things that gets me like, okay, so my father-in-law came over on Saturday, right?
This is Nevin's dad.
Yeah, Nevin's dad, okay?
Okay.
And his girlfriend, he came over to visit, you know, visit Daniel and whatever. And we're like 20 minutes into the visit, and then he goes, hey, so who are the Lakers going to hire as coach? And I'm like, oh, man. I do this all day long, you know? Like, it's Saturday, we're playing with the kid. Can we just, like, not...
Okay, like, so this
whole,
was a,
but you can, but you can say thing, that to you know? Your father-in-law. Can,
what about
you
a
say
stranger?
It to a stranger?
No, I didn't say it to him. I just kind of gave him a short answer. I was like, I don't know. You know, they might be waiting on Doc Rivers, but I don't think they know. They're just taking their sweet time. I just said it like that, right? Just real quick and breezy.
Like, yeah, you yada-yada'd it.
Yada-yada'd it.
Yada-yada'd
it. So I think that, you know, I think that when... like you get that with a stranger, I just don't always want to engage because now.
But can
I'm
you
get
sit there and absorb their wrongness? That's the part that rubs me the wrong way. Like when
no,
I just
Trav, I would have done what you did.
Yeah,
I gotta. I mean, not, and you, it doesn't sound
but now
like
you're
you
involved.
It.
Well, that's
now
the problem.
To,
I don't want to be involved, but I also want to make sure that the record is correct. I want.
But
both.
Trav, what surprises record. Me about this is the other day you said you're the guy who doesn't talk to the Uber driver.
No,
who doesn't
I'm not.
Talk to the people in line. So why were you engaging
really?
This guy?
So because of what Alan said. So I got to the game
you're
in the second
there.
Inning. Okay, so
that's right because you were on the air with us when
right,
it started.
Right. My buddy Brian is in. His girlfriend is on the aisle. He's sitting in the next seat in. The third seat is empty, which is my seat, and then the fourth seat has this man sitting in it. So I go and sit in the seat. I assumed that this was somebody I didn't know that was another buddy of Brian's. So I start having I don't want to be I thought he was part of the team.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
At this now,
which is awkward in itself.
Now I'm in. Now I've engaged, but I just wanted to say no, it wasn't Bert Hooten, it was Charlie Huff. You're wrong about that and leave it there
and then he's like, "Here's my Dodger expert. I'm going
to
ask him every question."
Hey, remember when Mickey
and
Hatcher
totally
pitched for the Dodgers? Well, that's not true.
Well, he's obviously there at the game by himself.
By himself,
then,
yep.
Right?
Yes. Nope. Yes.
So he's
and he probably
for
had
friends.
Seats, yeah, and he probably had seats up top and snuck down. That's what I used to do.
Yeah.
Well, sure.
Yeah, me too.
All
used
of the...
to. I still do that.
Yesterday was a game to do it.
Yeah, if you're looking for easy in and out at Dodger, Dodger Stadium, I highly recommend 1 o'clock on a Wednesday against the Diamondbacks.
So you got right out after? Because that's normally an hour and a half.
I left you and Mace yesterday. It was about 1:15. Got to the car. It's 1:20. I was in my seat at Dodger Stadium by 1:47 or 8.
Wow.
So that did work. Do you
it
remember
did.
We were saying that
it
if you would have left
that's
at 12:15, yep. you just would have sat there.
It,
by leaving at 1:15, you actually outsmarted the traffic
it
flow.
It was perfect. I got back to my – stayed for the whole game. Game ends. Walk back to my car. Game. I don't know exactly when it ended. Let's say it was 4 o'clock. Okay. I'm in my car by 4:06 or 4:07. I'm on the freeway by 4:15. That it was. I've never experienced that in my life. It was amazing. I couldn't recommend it more.
He did do the Dodger dog again, and he said still not good.
No.
Yeah, no more of that.
Until we go back to Farmer John, where I'm done. When I hear the announcement that Farmer John,
really? Think they're going back.
No, I don't think so.
You guys are so anti.
They're Ramona. I've done.
I've had them. They're okay.
They're so bland and they're mushy. They're just nothing about it was what I was looking for. Nothing.
John, what were you going to mention? You're starting to talk about Jason Kidd.
Well, you guys asked the question, and I'm glad Ramona's here. You guys asked the question, why didn't the Lakers just hire Jason Kidd in the first place? And the comeback to that is they did hire him as the lead assistant. I always felt, and Ramona, I'm curious if you think that this is out of left field or if it's if it's possible. I always felt that Jason talked openly about this when he got the Mavericks job. I always felt that his domestic violence history kept him from getting the head coaching job. Did you feel that way?
Yeah, I felt like that was definitely a factor. And I also think you have to remember two things. Jason had come off a failed coaching stint with the Milwaukee Bucks, right? So he had Giannis first. They didn't really grow. And then the guy who replaced him takes him to the finals, right?
Right.
So there was a sort of, Jason looks a lot better after having been with the Lakers for a couple of years than he did when he was an assistant who had, you know, he was up for the head job, but really hadn't done much as a head coach. I mean,
he had the two stints, the one in Brooklyn and the one in Milwaukee, right?
Yeah, but now he looks like a great head coach, right? But, you know, I actually talked to him the other day because I'm working on a story for the one of my last, John, it's fun when you're like on this late in pregnancy, everybody's like, how much longer are you working? And I'm like, I don't know, day to day, you know?
Yeah, everybody's willing to give you some extra time off.
Yeah, you know, they're like,
Take a day. I need a day to catch my breath or whatever it is. Not feeling my best.
Greg was like, can you do Thursday and Friday for me? And I'm like, hopefully. Yeah. We'll see.
If my son has complications with his teeth and you go into labor, this could be the most memorable Mason in Ireland show of all time.
Oh my God.
Momo, are you that close? Are you literally day to day at this point as far as you can go into labor?
I feel fine, but like I just hit 36 weeks, so I guess that's technically 9 months, right?
Yeah.
And then next week I'll be 37 weeks, but I will say this. I didn't have my first one until 41 and a half weeks.
Okay.
So I feel like I still got a good 3 weeks, 4 weeks. But, you know, just as soon as I'm going to knock on wood as I say that. So
just saying, just having my wife and I having been through this 3 times, the numbers 2 and 3, they come a little bit quicker.
They come faster. Yeah.
And you don't get nearly as much lead up time. It's like it's game time really
Let's
quickly.
Go. Right. Yeah, I feel fine. Other than the fact that I'm kind of bigger now, but like, I feel fine. I can totally keep doing shows.
Just
and
take
whatever.
The Comrex everywhere. Take the Comrex everywhere.
It's on my phone. It's, you know, it's okay.
Although
but it's funny, like,
go
yeah,
ahead.
Good. Well, I'm coming in tomorrow. Yeah, why not?
Oh, you know? Good.
The why not, I think, is fairly self-explanatory.
Right, yeah.
getting back to Jason Kidd.
Yeah, Jason Kidd, sorry.
I thought that the way he handled his Laker lead assistant stretch was brilliant.
Yep, he really did.
He was open to talking about anything that happened in his past, including the off the court stuff. He didn't do a lot of. He didn't want to do any on camera interviews or a lot of things on the record. But if you pulled him to the side, he would literally talk to you about anything. And one of the things Sint Marshall said when Mark Cuban kind of put her in charge of the hire, because Marshall had gone through some domestic violence issues of her own when she was younger in her family, was Cuban said, look, people are going to come at Jason and come at us if we make him the head coach because he's got this in his history.
Of course.
And Marshall said, well, then let's put a spotlight on it. Let's do a press conference where I sit out there and answer questions about my history. Jason answers questions about his history. And I'll tell people why I decided to give him a chance and hire him, because people need second chances. But I think at the time, Trav, you were saying, like, why didn't they hire him in the first place? That, for lack of a better word, that box hadn't been checked yet.
Yeah.
That those questions.
He was willing, though, John. I remember at the time he was willing to do that when he got hired for the Laker job, or even when they were considering him for the Laker job. But it was a combination of three factors. One, he hadn't really publicly addressed that. It was also right during the Me Too era, right? Like, you have to remember what that was like 5 years ago. And this was a real hot topic to where you can't just – sometimes, you know, we all say, oh, people deserve second chances. Well, at that point – people weren't quite ready to hear that, you know, or they weren't.
Well,
quite
and
ready
we have one of the only it. We have one of the only female pro owners in sports too. So that was part of the
but
dynamic
I really
too.
Think it's, you know, 50% of it was probably that, but a large part of it was just Jason Kidd wasn't Jason Kidd. You know, he was Jason Kidd who had failed, who left Brooklyn after a mediocre tenure and who got fired in Milwaukee after a mediocre tenure.
Because
he was just. A guy.
Let me jump in real quick, because Al and I were talking about this just a second ago, and I want to get your thoughts before we dip out here for a sec.
Sure.
What's the holdup on hiring the new coach? Are they still trying to put their finger on who, or can they just not? They know who, they just can't do it yet.
Well, think about the names that were on the Ramon, I'll let you jump on this too, but I say think about the names that were on the short list in the beginning, okay? You haven't heard anything about Quinn Snyder. You haven't heard anything about the changes that they're obviously going to make in Utah because Danny Ainge is coming in. You've heard from the Sixers that they want Doc back.
That doesn't mean anything.
You haven't heard from Doc.
Right.
You know, and I think, Travis, that and Ramona, tell me what you think about this. I think Daryl Morey putting it out there that Doc's our coach might even be a negotiating ploy.
Of course. John, you guys are talking all about
poker
the other day.
Right.
Yes, listen. You guys were talking about poker the other day, right? I heard you with your bad beat and Dr. Buss and the Full House.
That's
and,
what this is.
That's what this is. Like, I was like, you guys don't see what's happening here? Like, Daryl Morey's like, oh, we're not going to fire him. So if you want him, that'll be
we'll take a draft
picks.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. I mean,
but that comes down to a game of poker. If you're Genie and Rob, then you're thinking, nah, I know you. We'll wait. We'll wait.
Right.
Well,
so
the ball's really, I think, in Doc Rivers' court, okay? So and the same thing for Quinn Snyder. Like, Utah likes Quinn Snyder. They already offered him an extension. He just didn't sign it. But if I'm Quinn, I want to see what John was talking about. Are they trading Gobert and Donovan Mitchell? One or both or none? Like, I want to see what the team that I'd be signing up to coach again does, right? There's also the issue of San Antonio. We haven't really heard a definitive answer about what Greg Popovich is doing. Quinn Snyder would be a person you definitely look for in San Antonio if Pop retires or if he doesn't coach next year. So would Doc. So would a lot of other people around the league. There's other dominoes that haven't fallen yet. And I know people want an answer and they want to know the coaching search and the drama and this and that. But I think they let Frank Vogel go without really much of a plan, without really much of an idea of.
They admitted as much.
Yeah.
They're doing a wide net.
They still have the current staff, you know, working out draft picks. But they really don't need to be in a hurry. I mean, I remember a couple of years ago, Taylor Jenkins got hired in Memphis. I have to check the date on this, but I believe it was in mid to late August.
Post-draft and post-everything.
Right. Yeah, so that's – I know we're running late here, but that's the answer to your question is they haven't made a move yet because they want to keep options available that haven't given answers yet.
So
we don't know what Quinn Snyder's doing. We don't know what Doc's doing. And as long as those two guys don't know what they're doing, what's the hurry?
Options available if your son has an emergency and Ramona goes into labor. That's up to you guys. Mason and I are like,
the Greg Bergman experience.
The Greg Bergman experience could be right around the corner. That's next. We'll see you tomorrow.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hey, people! Happy Thursday. Yeah, Mason's off again. And he'll be off again tomorrow. And we're lucky to have Ramona, who is about ready to pop, but you think you have about 3 weeks left, Momo?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Boy, do you know Scotch, Momo?
Huh?
Momo, do you know Scotch? Do you like Scotch?
What?
Like Scotch. Scotch.
I think I'm more of a bourbon girl. But, I'm like more of a bourbon or Japanese whiskey kind of girl.
But have you ever heard of Petey? Smoky, I'm calling it Petey.
No one's ever heard of it.
Yeah. Oh, oh, Listen,
no, we're trying
that's
to
like
wait.
Moss peat, right? Like a.
Yeah, you've heard of it. Like when you talk about scotch, you've heard the peatiness of a scotch, right?
Be honest, Ramona.
I mean, I know what moss peat is, but I don't.
There
really
is no but,
this...
oh, stop. Wow. There is no such thing as moss peat. It's peat moss. That's number one. And number two, Bergman, stop trying to make fetch happen.
No, this
nobody
is the,
knows
this is a
what
real
peat
thing, John.
Moss is.
You're driving me crazy.
Before, but by the way, before we get going here, a couple of points of that I gotta. Boxes I got to check. Number one, you heard us talking about the poker tournament. Mason and Ireland Poker Invitational back. Commerce Casino, Saturday, June 11th. Here's what you need to do if you want to be in it. Text POKER to 40705 for a chance to win a free seat. The prize pool starts at $2,500. Both Mason and I have bounties on our heads. You can knock us out. You get paid. Don't forget to text POKER to 40705 now. Okay, so Ramona, we're going to let you guys in a little bit behind the scenes. So Mason takes several weeks off a year, and whenever he does, I'm more Ramona, you know this because you work with both of us.
Totally.
I'm more organized. I'm more structured. You get an email when you wake up on a day you're working with me that lays out the entire show that says, here's where I want to go. Here's all the background if you want to read up on it. If anybody else has anything to add, throw it in. And now, over the years, Bergman, how many years have you and I worked together?
Six.
All right. 6 years of this going on, 7-8 weeks a year. All right?
Yep.
Bergman never, ever has written back like, hey, here's some more ideas. Today, Bergman hits with like six fantastic ideas. Bergman!
I had time.
What the hell? Why don't you do this every time?
It just depends on when I have time. I got other things going
on. Oh, my God. I was like, wait a minute. Did you get possessed by someone else? I was like, so pleasantly surprised by your contributions to the show today. I might even follow you again on social media.
Whoa. Don't go too far now. Let's be careful.
So that's number one. All right. Number two, we all picked a golfer. This is very funny. We all picked a golfer at the PGA. All right. Ramona, you have Cameron Champ, right?
Yep.
Bergman, you have Dustin Johnson.
Yep.
I have Scottie Scheffler and a few others, by the way, because I love golf and I bet a bunch of mythical money. Mason, I can't remember who Mason took. Jorge Briones.
Yeah.
Took Rory McIlroy. Have you looked at the leaderboard, Jorge?
I have not.
By himself at the top of the leaderboard with a first round score of 65 is Northern Ireland's Rory McIlroy.
All right.
What odds did he get on that, Bergman?
I think it was 16 to 1. I have it right here.
All right, so Jorge's about to get paid if McIlroy holds on to this.
16 to 1.
All right, and Scheffler and Chan, our golfers are not doing squat, but Jorge's looking really good. Okay, so Momo, last night, Golden State destroyed Dallas in game one of the Western Conference Finals.
And yep.
I would say if I had to pick right now, I'll see if you agree, I think the Warriors are going to win their fourth title in the last 8 years. If you had to pick one of the four remaining teams, wouldn't you pick the Warriors?
Yeah, that is my championship pick. I did not feel good about it, though, John, because I still think Dallas is a game opponent here. Like, to me, Dallas is they did this in every series so far. They've lost game one pretty bad.
Right.
And then they make a bunch of adjustments. Sometimes they lose game two even, but they always seem to make adjustments really well and then come back. And so I think they remind me a lot of that team that won in 2011, where they have that one star, bunch of really good 3-and-D guys. But I like the winner of the Western Conference to win it all, rather than whoever comes out of that Eastern Conference series.
And Eastern Conference Game 2 is tonight.
Yeah.
Boston at Miami. Looks like Marcus Smart's going to play. But Al Horford has been upgraded to questionable. He's still on the bubble. But game two of that series tonight, and you can hear that. Bergman, we're carrying that game, right?
We are, starting at 5:30 tonight.
Okay.
Right after
Sinan
on cap.
All right, so Momo, if you're the Lakers and you're watching the Warriors do this, should you try and steal some of their blueprint? One of the candidates for the Laker job is Kenny Atkinson, who right now is Steve Kerr's lead assistant.
Yep. Well, second lead. Mike Brown is the lead.
Well, yeah, because Mike Brown went to Sacramento. So right. I'm saying that Atkinson is now.
But, oh, yeah, he's currently. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So, but does Atkinson's stock rise as the Warriors succeed, or Did they already try this with Luke Walton when they hired Walton away from the Warriors? And I'm connecting dots that aren't there. What do you think?
Okay, so I used to think that Kenny Atkinson was a great player development coach. That was the reputation he got when he was the Brooklyn Nets coach, right? He was the guy who developed Joe Harris and Dinwiddie and D'Angelo Russell and that young Brooklyn team that actually did better than this year's Brooklyn team if we look back on the
right.
on their success, right? But then when Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving got there, he was not seen as a coach for the big stars, right? The great, thanks for taking us to developing the kids. Now let's go hire somebody who can manage the big superstars. I don't think we have ever been more wrong. Like, I talked to a lot of people up in Golden State, and they said Kenny Atkinson is a great, great coach. Like, in-game strategist, a defensive whiz. Like, it's this idea that all he is a player development coach is totally off. So I think they would be lucky if Kenny Atkinson was available and wanted their job.
How serious of a candidate do you believe Atkinson is?
I don't think he's that serious of a candidate. And I'll tell you this. My general feeling about candidates in the Lakers search is that the more you hear about them, the less serious a candidate they are. Because anybody who is really serious about that job knows how much the Lakers value the privacy aspect of this. They don't want their search public. They don't want everybody talking about every candidate. They don't really want, like, most of the coaching agents I deal with, if a name gets out there, they're kind of upset about it. Like, it's very much, it almost reminds me of, like, Kawhi Leonard's free agency, you know?
Right, right, yeah. Well, he didn't want anybody to know anything.
So it feels like, I mean, obviously names are going to get out. Like, and the ones that get out are the ones that are currently on a team because you have to ask permission to speak to them, right? So then it's not just about, oh, can you keep a secret or can you keep this in-house? You have to ask permission. So everybody, once you ask permission for the Bucks, whether it's Darvin Ham or the Warriors, whether it's Atkinson or whoever, the Raptors, right, then that gets out. But when it's just one-to-one, like, you notice the Terry Stotts thing that finally came out?
Right.
But that had happened a couple of weeks ago, right? Like, it just, the Lakers really want to keep this under wraps. And I don't blame them, to be honest. I mean, last time all their business got out there and it was pretty obvious Frank Vogel was like maybe the third or fourth choice, and they don't want to do that to whoever they end up hiring, right? I have heard a lot of really good things about Atkinson, and I don't think this is a Luke Walton situation. Luke Walton was a former player who made a very quick transition into coaching, probably was better suited to coach a younger team. He was great when he was coaching the kids.
Right. And the reason they didn't leave Atkinson in charge in Brooklyn was they were worried he couldn't handle the star power of Kyrie and Durant. And as it turns out, nobody can. They got swept out of the first round of the playoffs. So we'll keep an eye on that. All right, coming up next, another example of why the TNT studio show is one of a kind and the best studio show, I think, in the history of studio shows, pre- and post-game shows. Nobody does a better job than those guys. And somebody who is flying way under the radar. Momo in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, Mason in Ireland. Ramona Shelburne's in for Mace. We're right in the middle of the conference finals. You can hear every conference finals game live on ESPN Radio. As a matter of fact, you'll hear George Sedano doing sidelines on the Western Conference finals games. Ramona, that's a job you've done before,
wow.
Right?
Wow. Yeah, that's good.
And so you can hear Sedano. Tonight, it's the Eastern Conference Finals, Game 2 in Miami. Miami leads that series 1-0. Boston at Miami tonight. So I mentioned that for my money, the TNT studio show with Ernie Johnson, Shaq, Kenny Smith, and Charles Barkley is the best studio show there has ever been. And the reason is it's organic. They let those guys do whatever naturally comes to mind. And I've been somebody, Ramona, who's had a 30-year career in sports television, and I can tell you that every producer, every studio show I've ever been on does not let you do anything. They basically want to say, get to – I mean, you do a lot of studio shows now at ESPN. You know, there's a format. They stick to it. Their favorite word is rap, get out, rap, get out.
Yeah.
Charles Barkley did something last night that played out live on TV that if anyone else did it, if you did it on a studio show on ESPN, on NBC, on any other network, it would be a major deal and there would be suspensions and firings today. And Barkley would be pulled off the air. Instead, it's just another great reason why this show is so good. So last night they're hosting the pre- and post-game show outside of the Chase Center in San Francisco. And you'll hear Barkley making a comment, and in the background, the crowd starts to yell in unison, Barkley sucks.
Wow.
And watch what, well, I can't say watch, but listen to what happens next.
But the one thing we have learned during the playoffs, you go back to Milwaukee-Boston game one, you go back to Dallas against Phoenix game one, nobody's going to overreact to the game. Hey, you're right, and y'all suck too.
Awesome.
He turns around, looks at the crowd, and goes, you're right, y'all suck too.
So good.
I guarantee you, if that happened on any other network, there would be memos going around, the word unprofessional would come up, the producer would be suspended, Barkley would be suspended. It's one of the reasons Barkley said he wanted to go to TNT, because they would let him do whatever he wants. And they make fun of themselves. They make fun of each other. They let him do stuff like that. For my money, Momo, it's the best pre- and post-game show that there's ever been.
That there's ever been. I totally agree. And what's fun for me is, like, you know, I've been home a lot the last couple of years, right? We had the COVID stuff. I'm pregnant this year. Like, so I watch a lot more. Usually I'm out in the field. I don't get to see as much. And it always makes me – I love it because they go on forever. Like, after the post game, you know, you think, like, our show is, like, just a couple minutes. And then we get to the Sports Center, right? That show goes on for, like, an hour, hour and a half after it. I'm like, they're still talking.
Brilliant. Yeah. And a lot of people will tune in just to see what they're going to say next. That's how good those guys are. All right. So I want to try an experiment here. All right. Between the four of us, Ramona, Greg, Jorge, and me. If we were drafting a team today and our goal was to win the championship next year, okay? So it's the 22-23 season, okay? And we're just going to do a draft of players to try and win the title. Ramon, I'll give you first pick. You can take anybody you want. You can take Embiid. You can take Jokic. Who do you want?
Okay,
You're building a team to win the title next year. That's all you care about. I want to win the title next year. Who do you want?
Win the title next year.
Any one player.
I want Luka Doncic.
Okay, you want Luka. Bergman, you get the second pick.
That was a good one. I'll take Giannis.
That's a very good pick.
It's either Luka or Giannis for me. So.
Jorge, who do you want?
I wanted Luka.
I want Steph.
Very good pick. Okay. So that means I get two. All right? Because we're a snake draft.
I'm not writing this down, by the way. Are you writing it down?
No, it'll be over pretty soon. All right, so I get two. So I you've left me the two leading vote-getters for MVP this season. So I'm going to take Embiid, and then I'm going to take LeBron. So I get both of them. I have LeBron and Embiid now on the same team. And, Jorge, it goes back to you. And you can take anybody you want. And, by the way, keep in mind, you can take Kawhi and Paul George will be healthy. Assume everybody's healthy.
I'll take Clay. Splash Brothers together.
All right, you put the Splash Brothers together. Greg, who do you want?
I'll take KD.
Great pick. I thought about it. I thought about taking him ahead of LeBron. Okay, Ramona, last pick for you.
Wait, so I can get Jokic and Luka together?
Yes. Yeah. Is that who you want?
Okay. Give me Jokic.
All right, so this experiment went exactly how I thought it would. All right? We're now eight deep.
Yep.
Okay? And be honest. Did anyone even consider Jimmy Butler?
Nope.
Who for
He's so
Greg,
good in the playoffs, though.
Greg, for did you?
No. I
Jorge?
Was, did not.
I did not.
Either did I. Two out of the last 3 years, Momo, this guy has basically put a team on his back. And like Greg says, in the playoffs, he's a different cat.
Yep.
Like, he's all about just winning the title. He dropped 41 on the Celtics, who've had the best defense in the league. I know Marcus Smart wasn't there. But he got 41 today. Is he the most under... We didn't... None of us even considered him.
I know.
Is he the most underrated player in the league?
I get the next pick, right? So if we're doing the snake.
Yeah.
So I have Luka and Jokic, and I probably would take his teammate Bam Adebayo next.
Or you could take Kawhi, you could take Dame, you could take Karl Anthony Towns, you could take Ja. Yeah, I mean
I still think I'm going to take Bam because I need some.
Okay,
if I and got then Jokic and Luka, I need some rim protection.
And I guarantee you, Jason Tatum would get taken before Jimmy.
Yeah,
because Jason's would. A great player. Kyrie might get taken before Jimmy.
No, I wouldn't do that.
All right, but here's what I'm saying.
But yeah,
Jimmy didn't even get considered. Is there a more underrated player than him this time of year than Jimmy Butler?
Nope. And I still I don't even know how he does it. I mean, I'm in the series. I was like, wow, 41 points, like.
And did you notice the weirdest thing about the 41 the other night?
Huh.
No threes.
No threes.
Zero.
No threes.
And he scored 41 points.
Well, he's also pretty much their best and only offensive weapon right now.
Right.
Like who?
Which makes it even more impressive.
I know. They should just be keying on him.
And he did this in the bubble, too. In the bubble when everybody else is like, it's like, well, who's, this is where the best player is going to rise to the top because you take the crowd out of it.
Yeah.
Butler just put the heat on his back and carried him. And think back at the mistake the Sixers made. They took Tobias Harris and paid him and let Jimmy Butler go. Can you imagine if they would have kept Butler?
Well, I
now they'd have Butler, Embiid, and Harden.
That decision was, when we look back on the failure of the process, right? If they never win a title, the whole Sam Hinkie experiment, okay? There are two huge decisions that they made that I think, you will rue the day if you're a Sixers fan, okay? Number one, they traded up in that draft to take Markelle Fultz over Jason Tatum.
And attached a number one pick and gave it to the Celtics.
Correct.
Remember that?
Okay. That trade right there is absolutely brutal, okay? Now when you look at how things turned out. Number two, they chose Ben Simmons over Jimmy. This idea that it was Tobias over Jimmy is not right. They let Jimmy go because Ben couldn't handle playing with Jimmy. They both need the ball, and they Jimmy's so competitive. He would get up into Ben's face. He would, it was kind of like a really bad fit personality wise for them. And at the time, Ben Simmons was still seen as a younger, higher upside building block of the franchise. And they just couldn't coexist. There was no way that those two guys. So they said, okay, we're going to let Jimmy go. Plus, I remember the Lakers had money in free agency that summer too. And there was a lot of talk about, would Jimmy be a good investment for 5 years? Do you want to give him the fifth year? Do you want to trade for him? Do you want to give him the fifth year?
Do it right now.
I mean, that was, I think it was the same summer as Kawhi. Yeah, it was 2019. It was the same summer, that Kawhi and Paul George teamed up in L.A., I mean, all of those teams could have had Jimmy Butler. And the only team that seemed to want him enough to give him a longer-term deal was the Miami Heat because they thought, a lot of teams didn't think he would age well. A lot of teams didn't think he was quite good enough. Now, fast forward to now. So the Sixers decide, okay, we're going to choose Ben Simmons over keeping, over Jimmy, keeping Ben Simmons happy. And they pay Tobias, and then they go out and sign Al Horford. That was their big move. They thought they needed another stretch four, five, whatever you want to call Horford, okay? And they that was a big analytics decision. I think the analytics said that they needed some more shooting and they needed another rim protector alongside Embiid. And it's just, you look at how things turn out, and sometimes, John, it comes back to this idea, you just got to draft guys who've got that competitive fire, who just have that it factor. And I think Jimmy's always had it, and he's just finally been appreciated by an organization for it. When he was in Minnesota or Philly, even Chicago, I don't think people appreciated that competitiveness about him. In a lot of ways, he was seen as sort of disruptive.
Right. But I would, go ahead and disrupt if you're going to play like this in the postseason. By the way, how do you see that series going, the Eastern Conference
Finals? You know, I picked Boston in seven, but that was before Marcus Smart got hurt. So I think, to me, the Heat is really good, but they're playing over their heads because they really just have Jimmy. I mean, they're just a bunch of role players and Jimmy, and then Bam's a good defensive player. But Kyle Lowry's hurt. I don't know how he's going to get back with that hamstring. You know, he keeps hurting it, so it's one of those injuries. But they're just so good and so tough that I think it's going seven, and I don't know who's going to win anymore, especially if Marcus Smart's hurt.
Yeah, well, I want to see how Marcus Smart plays tonight. You know, how can he guard Butler, and does he look like
he's got a foot injury? That's
pretty
not,
close
that's
to
100%.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Up on the wheel of questions today. Okay, this is interesting. You, and I mean Ramona, Jorge, and Greg, have a time machine. It works and it's safe. What is the first thing you would do with it? Bergman, you going forward? You going back? What are you doing with a completely functioning time machine?
I am destroying it so nobody else can use it and not go back and ruin things or see into the future. Live your life as it is right now.
You have no interest in using it?
No, I do not want to go anywhere because if you go back in time, you're going to ruin something for future. If you go into
you
the future, you're going
to... You don't have to impact it. I don't
all
think
it
you're
takes
grasping
is a step.
It. Oh, please.
Butterfly effect.
Ah, if man.
You've broken twig. Someone trips over it, and then it ruins everything.
I'd like to go back and attend my parents' wedding. I don't have to tell anybody I'm there. I just want to see it. I think it'd be really cool to watch, and then I just transport myself back to my real life. My parents got married in 1962. I think that would be really cool for me to go back and see who was at their wedding and what it looked like. And then I would just bounce. Jorge, what are you doing with your time machine? You can go forward.
I'm going forward.
Okay, you can go see what Maite's like at 21 if you want.
I want to see what she's like in the future and if I have more than two kids at that point and what they're up to.
See, I'd be scared to go forward. Momo, because I would.
That's scary. Yeah.
The reason I would go back is what if going forward is a completely different life than I've envisioned for myself. I'd be all freaked out. Ramona, what would you do? Would you go forward? Would you go back? What would you do?
I think I would go back. Now, okay, so the right answer is that you should go back and stop some horrible event in history, right?
Let's say you can't affect anything.
So this is
if
an
you
observational
go
time machine, because that's good. Yeah, because
World War One,
you know.
Right, or you could go back and take Hitler out or something. I mean, it'd be unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, for something frivolous. Yeah, that's not on the cards. Okay.
It's not on the table, right.
So I just want to go way back. I want to go in the way back machine. And, I just want to see what life was like back when my dad's side of the family, they're Welsh, okay?
Okay.
They came over in the Mayflower or something, really early on. So I would love to just go back and see my ancestors on, all the different sides of the family. So my mom's side is from Eastern Europe. My dad's side is from, I think they're from where the Loch Ness Monster is. That's literally where they're from. Okay.
Yeah.
It was so cool to go see them, go see where I'm really from and what those worlds were really like.
You're not thinking about this. You could get on the Titanic and then get off it right before it sails.
If I can't affect anything, then that changes my answer. So then I think I would go see Stonehenge, as it was created and see how it actually was created, because it's they're big giant rocks that are formed in a way that just shouldn't be there. I want to know things like that.
Yeah, or it would be what would it have been like to be around when World War One or World War Two ended, the end of an actual war, and how happy everybody would be. I would it's interesting. Jorge's the only one with the guts to go forward. If you had to go forward, would you go, Ramona? Would you go forward in your own life or in someone else's life? I'd probably go forward in Jack's life, my son's life.
Yeah, I'd definitely go forward in Daniel's life and in my soon-to-be son. But you know what? There's a part of me that just says, Maybe I would go way forward, like where I don't know anybody, and just see what the world is like in 300 years.
Yeah, it's
that'd be kind of cool.
Are sports leagues still around? Is media the same? Is what everybody says? Are we gonna have, like, Mason wants to put a computer chip in his head? Or have we advanced to that?
Did we start space travel? Have we figured out how to transport to all these other worlds? Right, like that would be kind of cool to just see. Because if I went forward, like, so the Bill and Ted the episode, the third one, I mean, I've seen all of them, but the most recent one, they get to go forward and they kind of see their future selves, and all these future lives that they sort of had, and it gets messy. Right, you can tell it gets messy. And how they, when do they create the song and play the perfect note or something like that? But they see what their families turned into. They see what they turned into. That would mess me up.
See, I think you got it right, Momo. Because if I went forward in time and saw Riley in 20, 30 years, what if I don't like it?
Yeah, that's
scary.
And
you can't change anything. So I want to experience it.
What you could do is you could, because you will have seen it. If the world is, like, radically different, like Ramona was saying, you might be able to give different advice to Riley while you're here.
But I can't affect anything, so she's going to end up like that anyway. This is
that's true.
You know,
yeah, that's a weird
time thing. Travel is a weird thing.
Like Terminator, man. Like John Connor, I mean, you know, he's still going to be John Connor. Like, he's going to get killed at some point, right? Am I ruining that movie?
No, don't worry. The statute of
limitations
is clearly run out on that. Yeah. All right, so speaking of, like, looking forward, did you guys look at the picture of the car Berkman sent us today, the Apple self-driving car? You know, Mason's all into these. He can't wait for these driverless cars. Okay?
I don't like it. Yeah.
Neither do I. Now, what Berkman sent me today freaked me out even more. He sent out a potential picture of an Apple self-driving car that would feature VR technology and no windows. You're basically in a black computer box, and it would pull up in front of your house. And you'd get in the car with no driver, and the car would drive away. Are all three of you comfortable getting into this thing?
Nope.
No chance. I mean, I'm sure there's a video screen in there that you can, like, see outside, but no.
It's a traveling death box. Yeah. There's no way I get in this thing. It seems to me be careful what you wish for. Because if this black thing pulls up to my house with no windows and no driver, I would be, I think my heart rate would double just getting in it.
It looks like an Apple computer mouse. It's exactly what it is.
It looks just like a mouse, which makes zero sense to me. And so, but people say these driverless cars are going to be here and that we better get used to them. Okay. So, I want to change the subject to something, Ramona, that I waited until I was working with you. Because I think it's really interesting. The United States women's national soccer team did something yesterday that I didn't think they were ever able to get done, but they did it. They're going to get equal pay. Now, I've always believed in equal pay for the two soccer teams because I think the women's team can grow the sport better than the men's team can. And people used to come back at me with the argument that, well, the men's team generates millions more than the women. But I always thought the women had a chance to grow. I think more women are going to play the sport because of the women's team than men do. So that's how I saw it. But there are a lot of people that thought they never would be able to get it done just because of the math. Are you surprised they were able to pull it off?
I'm actually really surprised because, USA Soccer controls both governing bodies, right? So that's why they had a chance here. It wasn't like, technically the WNBA Players Association is supported financially by the NBA Players Association, from what I think I know that, right? But, the WNBA is always saying, like, we should have private air travel, we should pay our players more, we should have a higher salary cap. I mean, from John, like, I'm pretty sure the salary cap for one team in the WNBA is $12 million. So if you have 12 players, I mean, that's not a lot of money to each of them, right? So there's a lot of people who go, well, why can't they just raise the salary cap, make it 20 million, and then everybody could share in the wealth? If you're that's a mid-level exception, you know, like the NBA could kick them some money. Why don't they just do that? I still don't understand why they don't. It would be up to
the NBA players. Why. Right, but I'll tell you why this soccer thing is a big surprise. The entire pool for the 2022 World Cup on the men's side will be $400 million. It's going to generate $400 million. The entire pool for the Women's World Cup in Australia in 2023 will be $60
million. Wow.
$400 million to $60 million. To put it another way, the last place men's team won more prize money than the first place women's team, and it's been that way forever.
Yeah.
But I think several things changed. First of all, the U.S. women's team pushed for this for years. They filed a claim with the EEOC in 2016. They filed a class action lawsuit. They kept chipping away at the rock. But everybody said the math doesn't add up. And finally, I think all those efforts, the lawsuits and the EEOC claim and everything, got enough people to look at it and go, wait a minute, our men's team stinks. Our women's team wins this thing more times than they don't. If we're going to grow the sport and we're going to be a leader in equal pay, I'm astounded that equal pay isn't a more obvious thing. Like, if you and I are doing the exact same job, we should be paid the exact same amount, and it doesn't work that way. I know I'm not telling you anything, but
yeah.
But the soccer thing was an uphill battle because of that disparity.
The deal they got isn't just pay. They got all these things. So they got the women got better maternal health benefits, but so did the men. So I think they get paternity leave now. The women said, we really want to have better field conditions. We don't want to play on artificial turf. And they have some kind of veto power of where they play. They got that. They got better travel than they used to have, which is really key. I mean, I'll tell you what, if you talk to women's soccer players, women's basketball players, then one of the number one issues that they complain about is commercial air travel. I think they would prioritize improved travel conditions over salary, even
right.
in a lot of cases.
Yeah, I know this is a big deal in the WNBA too.
It's a big deal, and you're somebody, you travel on the plane with the team, so you know the difference, right? So when you have to go by yourself, different.
I tell Sedano all the time. He's working. You know, we're doing basically the same jobs. George is doing a lot of games, and I'm doing a lot of games, but I'm traveling in a different way than he is. So his job is much harder. Yeah,
and
it's
so
a,
like
it's an absolute
they had
game
to get
changer.
The men to say yes. Like, this isn't just about USA Soccer said yes. They had to get the men
deserve credit. I'm glad you brought that up. Okay, so we'll take some phone calls on this if you want to, because I know there are some people that disagree, that think the men shouldn't have given the women equal pay. And we'll let you give your opinion if you want. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. And a philosophical question on how you should behave if you lose a championship game. Not if you win it, if you lose it. We'll get into that next. Momo in for Mace. I'm John Ireland. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.